Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to spend this last Sunday of 2023 with you. The scripture reading this morning is from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I was talking to somebody before the service about reading through the scriptures in a year, and some have taken up that challenge. I did that this past year, so this afternoon when I get home, I'll be reading Revelation 22 and have finished the scriptures this year. But for this morning, we're going to look at Revelation 1, and we'll see what it has to say to us for today. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, take to heart what is written in it. Because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars is that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearing this morning. Lord, speak to us in these next few moments. You know what it is that we need to hear, what we need to understand, how we are to apply your word to our lives, and that'll be different from person to person gathered here, but I pray that in these moments, Lord, we would sense your speaking to us and that we'd hear your voice clearly. So open our minds, open our ears, touch our hearts as we receive your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Lloyd C. Douglas was a pastor in the first half or so of the 20th century, but he is much better known as an author, specifically a novelist. His most famous novel is The Robe, which was made into a movie. Many of you probably saw that at some point in your life. If you've never read the book The Robe, I would encourage you to do so. Lloyd Douglas tells a story about when he was a student at what was then Wittenberg College in Springfield, Ohio. Douglas lived in a boarding house, and one of his downstairs neighbors was a retired music teacher. And Douglas and this man, over time, developed a morning ritual of sorts. Before leaving the boarding house each morning, he would stop by the man's room and ask him a simple question. What's the good news? The old man would pick up his tuning fork, tap it on the side of the wheelchair, and say, "That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now." You know, the tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune, but that, my friends, is middle C. What is middle C? Give them middle C there, Ryan. Very good. You passed the test. One more time. Just okay, good, okay. Just want to make sure it wasn't a fluke. You got it right. If you've ever taken music lessons, piano lessons specifically, you know middle C. It's where we all start. And when I took piano lessons as a kid, I think that was the very first thing my music teacher taught me, is to find middle C on a keyboard, because all of the other notes sort of emanate from there. It's sort of the baseline, the place that you begin, and then everything else flows from there. Middle C is middle C. It's the exact same mathematical pitch everywhere, always, and it never deviates. I am told that middle C has a frequency of 261.6 hertz. I have no idea what a hertz is, but for those of you who are techies or something, would like that information, there you have it. Middle C, 261.6 hertz. As I said, it's the first thing I learned my childhood piano lessons. It made me think when I read that story about the music teacher and what he said about middle C every morning. Is there a middle C for our lives? Is there something that never changes, that's constant, that you can count on every day, that's foundational to all of the rest of life, that sets the stage for all of life? And specifically, is there a middle C if you desire, as I believe all of you do, to live the Christian life? Is there a middle C? Well, there's no verse in the scripture that says this is middle C. But I think I can demonstrate this morning what would be the middle C for the Christian life. And it kind of emanates from a term that we find in the scriptures, one of many names and many titles that are given to Jesus. And we'll look today at one of them, and that title is this: Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus uses it for himself three times. In Revelation 21, 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." In Revelation 22, verse 6, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And in chapter 1, which we read, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. It's a very significant title, made significant specifically because Jesus uses it for himself. This wasn't the testimony or the idea of somebody else. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What does that imply? Well, before we get to that, three explanatory notes. First of all, this book of Revelation that this title comes from, this book was written by the Apostle John, as we read in that first chapter. It was the last New Testament book written around 90 AD or so. So that makes it, what, about 60 years after Christ was crucified and rose again and ascended to the Father. John, by this time, is an old man. And he's been exiled to the island of Patmos, which is this kind of rock island in the middle of the Aegean Sea. He's been exiled there by the Romans because of his evangelistic efforts, because of him sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's been punished. He's been exiled to this rock of an island. And while he is there, he says he receives a vision from heaven, and a vision of heaven. And he's told to write down what he sees. That's very significant. What we have in the book of Revelation is John's description of what he saw and heard and experienced in that vision. It is not a compilation of his ideas. It's not his own personal philosophy. It's not how he interpreted what he saw. He was told, write down what you see and heard, and that's what he did. So everything in the book of Revelation is a description of what John sees in this grand vision. Not his own ideas, not his take on it. So everything we read there is what he saw. God gave him this vision. Second explanatory note is simply this. As you probably know, Alpha and Omega are the very first and the very last letters of the Greek alphabet. If we were saying that today, we'd say, I am the A and I am the Z. Or if you're Canadian, I am the A and I am the Z. I lived in Canada for 3 years. I had to learn that. Third explanatory note. This thought is not new in the book of Revelation, but it's throughout the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament. We read very similar language. Of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, so you wouldn't find Alpha and Omega. Those are Greek letters. But nevertheless, we see, for instance, in Isaiah 44, verse 6, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Or Isaiah 48, 12, listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. My proposition for you today, if you haven't figured it out already, is that Jesus should be the middle C of our lives. Jesus at the very center, at the very core of our lives. Now, what makes him a worthy candidate for that role? Boy, we could go on for hours about that. But I'm just going to share with you some things that came to me as I was thinking about that term Alpha and Omega that describe Jesus and make him the perfect middle C for our lives as we go into a new year. What makes Jesus that? Three biblical truths. The first is He is eternal. He is eternal. We read in Revelation 1, who was and is to come. Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He is eternal. He is infinite in length. And the triune God is the only entity in the entire universe of whom that can be said. Everything in the material universe has a shelf life. Everything is transient, temporary, has a beginning, and has an end, except the triune God. Christmas 1988, I had just accepted a pastorate, which meant that I moved from the home where I was living. At that particular time, the woman who is now my wife and I had established a relationship, but we weren't engaged yet. That would come the following year. But Christmas in 1988, I had just moved away. We weren't able to be together like we had been in church and other ways. So Wanda gave me a Christmas gift that Christmas. She gave me, with a beautiful bow on it, a jar of pickled beets. Now, you need to know something. I absolutely hate pickled beets. If you invite me over to your house, you can put most anything in front of me, and I'm a very polite man, and I will eat whatever it is you serve me and tell you it was wonderful. You put pickled beets in front of me, all bets are off. Okay? I'm not touching them. All right? If you love pickled beets, God bless you. God makes all sorts of different kinds of people. It's wonderful. But she gave me this jar of pickled beets. That would seem to be a strange gift, wouldn't it? I asked her, what's this about? Remember, I had just kind of moved away, so we didn't see each other quite as often at that point. And she said, I wanted you to have something that would remind you of me, that I knew that you would never use up. Do you know, that jar of pickled beets traveled with us through several moves. It sat on my bookshelf for years and years and years. People would come into my office and, okay. A little weird. It lasted a long time. But you know what? It came a day when I had to throw it out. Even that jar of pickled beets had a shelf life. It was many years, but it's gone now. Everything in this world has a shelf life. That's true of things. That's true of experiences, both good and bad, positive and negative. Some of you may know the singer and comedian Mark Lowry. He says that one of his favorite Bible expressions is, it came to pass. Because whenever he's going through anything, he thinks to himself, well, it came to pass. There is nothing on this earth that is eternal except for the triune God, through Jesus Christ and his Spirit who resides in us if we are his. So, are we going to hitch our lives to that which will someday pass away? What the Bible calls wood, hay, and stubble? Or are we going to hitch our lives to that which lasts? Not just the time frame of time and space in this world, but for all eternity. Are we going to connect our lives to the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? He is eternal. The second truth, he is immutable, which is a word that just simply means changeless. In the words of Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Or in the familiar words of Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus never changes. Not only is he eternal, but he's changeless. His power, his love, his authority does not ebb and flow. They don't change. He isn't one way one day and another way the next. His power, love, and authority don't get stronger or weaker. They can't get weaker because he is God, and they can't get stronger because he is all-powerful. There's no further to go. He remains the same. When I was growing up, we had a big oak tree in my front yard of the house I lived in till I went away to college. And it was a big old oak tree. At the time, as a kid, I thought it was probably the biggest tree on earth. Didn't know anything about redwoods or anything by then. I mean, now I realize that it was just a really big oak tree, like many around here. But nevertheless, in my childhood mind, that oak tree was huge. It was right in the middle of our front yard. And while growing up, we had many typical New England winters and New England storms. And there were all sorts of trees on our property. And many of them over the years broke off, got uprooted. The birches were standing like this, and then there were like that. Pine trees were going through the years, even some of our maples. That oak tree stood firm. And for me, it was almost metaphorical that for me, that oak tree represented solidity, security. I could wake up knowing that that oak tree was going to be there, and that would not change. A lot of other things would change around the property, but that oak tree would always be there. A few years ago, I drove back to my hometown and drove past the house, and the oak tree was gone. There wasn't even a stump there. They had taken care of that, and you wouldn't have been able to know that there had ever been an oak tree there. The perception of the view of my house was totally different. I didn't have to look around the oak tree to see the front door. It was all open now. And no, that's not a tragedy, but I tell you the point to point out that change happens. Sometimes it's change we like, and sometimes it's change we don't like. But change happens. I don't know how many years that oak tree stood there, but it's not there anymore, and the whole property had changed. That's true of most everything in this world. The only constant is change. Some of you know that the church that I've been associated with for the last couple decades or so is going through a change that was not desired. Our church building got damaged, and we can't meet in it anymore. And there was a whole several generations of people living today in Auburn who have always known that that was their church, and they knew that would always be there. We can't meet there anymore. We're going to have to find another place to worship. Change. Everything changes. If you had asked any of us at the beginning of 2023 whether that church building would be damaged so that we couldn't meet in it ever again, we would have said you were crazy. Not that building. But yes, change happens. Some change is good. Some change is difficult. Most everything in this world, the only constant is change. There is, of course, one exception, isn't there? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That church and that those individuals of the church are going to have to move and worship somewhere else. But they're going to worship the same Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has 2023 been a year of change for you in any way? To some degree, it's been true of all of us. But there is an exception. The one who created everything, the one who sustains everything, the one who superintends everything. And what a comfort that is. We don't ever have to worry whether our Savior will change his views of us, or change his ability to hear our prayers and answer them, or carry through on all of the promises that he has made to us. We can trust him. He can take it to the bank. Jesus does not change. War or peace, success or failure, sunshine or storm, feast or famine, good times and hard times, Jesus is changeless. That's what makes him the middle C of the Christian life. He's eternal, he is immutable, and then finally, he is transcendent. Transcendent simply means that God's nature and power is wholly independent of the material universe, beyond all physical laws. Deuteronomy 4:39, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Paul in Ephesians 4 says Jesus is above all, which means he is not dependent upon the things of this world. He is not dependent on what happens in a material, physical world of time and space. Everything in this world is, to one degree or another, dependent. Everything affects other things. Even the greatest control freaks in the world, and I count myself among them, can't control everything. No matter how hard we try. Even the most knowledgeable among us, and I'd like to think I'm pretty knowledgeable, cannot know everything. In some ways, living on this earth, we're more like passengers on a train than we are the engineer. We're along for the ride. We can control certain things. We can know certain things, but ultimately, we're passengers. We're subject to the whims and decisions and lifestyles of other people, decisions others make. But how wonderful it is to know that there is one who is the engineer. There is one who's driving the train. There is one who is transcendent above all physical laws. There is one who can break into this universe of time and space. I have no trouble believing miracles. Because if God created this world and he's transcendent, he can do whatever he wants with it. And we've established what we consider physical laws, but he's above those. If he wants to break in and do something totally supernatural and different than our physical laws say, He can do that. He has not only the authority, but the ability. He is transcendent. He is above. He's not subject to the laws of the physical universe. He's not dependent upon any other entity. He doesn't have to ask permission of someone else. God is transcendent. I love this quote from the scriptures. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? He is transcendent. Eternal, immutable, transcendent. Why is Jesus the best candidate to be the middle sea for our lives? Because he is eternal, immutable, and transcendent. But you know, it's one thing to affirm that. It's one thing to say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. My question to you this morning is simply this. Is he your Alpha and Omega? Is he the middle sea of your life? Would others who walk life's road with you, who see you and the way you live your life, would they be surprised if you told them that Jesus was the middle sea of your life? Or would they say, yeah, I can see that? Lloyd Douglas quoted his neighbor as saying, the tenor upstairs sings off key, and the piano across the hall was out of tune. Folks, we live in a world that sings off key. And we live in a world where there are lots of pianos that were out of tune. Off key, out of tune, that's not a bad way to describe the world in which we live. So in that kind of world, what will guide us? We live in uncertainty. No one can be sure what will happen in 2024. When I began 2023, a year ago, Second Baptist Church was a name on a list of churches that I had heard of. Things have changed. We live in a world of uncertainty. So what will we hold on to? What will be our solid rock as the world continues to sing off key and is out of tune, as we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment? Not saying even the next year. What are we going to hold on to? What's going to guide us? What's going to be our middle sea? New Year's is a good time to reflect on the past year and anticipate the new one. As you think about all those things and where this next year is going to lead you, most of which you have no idea at this point, but you can make one certainty. You can say and resolve that Jesus is going to be at the heart and the center of my life. He will be my middle sea. He's eternal, immutable, transcendent. He will be my middle sea. I'm going to close with this. There's a song. It's not in our hymn book. If you want to check it out on YouTube, if you have opportunity, if you don't know it. It's a song. It's an African-American spiritual, actually. And it's called Give Me Jesus. And there's many variations of the song. And many verses have been added and subtracted through the years. Like most Negro spirituals, it wasn't originally written down. It was just sung. But I love it. And I think it would be a perfect song for 2024. And it goes something like this. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And the last verse is, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Amen. Please don't do that. But make that thought. Even if, look it up on YouTube with somebody who sings it better than that. And see all the verses as well. We're going to close the service by singing a hymn that speaks of this new year coming up. So let's all stand and sing Another Year is Dawning.